The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking like we're on the air?
Yes, talking like we're on the air, Chris.
Oh my God, we're on the air. I can't believe it. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. This is a crazy day. For the first time, we are, Scraby's in studio, but I'm broadcasting from my hotel. And Scraby and I have been working at this for the last little while, trying to make sure I could get on the air. And so here we are, apparently. Scraby, is that true?
I believe so.
It wasn't easy, though, was it?
Well, this is the first time we've done this, so it's going to take a couple setups.
Yes, evidently so. My biggest problem is trying to navigate back and forth between open programs here. And every time you have me go to one, I'm knocking myself out of the other. So it's pretty clear that, I'm an older generation than you guys with all this newfangled stuff.
Hey, I'm having a little bit of trouble understanding it too, so don't be too hard on yourself.
I'm going to be pretty hard on myself because you told me while we were setting up that when you were getting Tony working on this during the Padres season, he was handling it a lot smoother than I am. So I have to take that to heart.
Well, I can tell you that Tony had an easier setup than you did because he had a machine that connects directly into the board, and you don't have a machine that connects directly into the board.
Okay. All right. Well, we are here, everybody. Happy Friday to you. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Some way, somehow, we are here for you. For the next 4 hours. Actually, I'm only going to be here for an hour. And then the Scraby is our other, is Sammy there?
He's going to be here at 3 p.m.
Sammy's coming in at 3. Okay. So yes. Sammy's taking my spot at 3 o'clock.
Yes, he is.
All right. I think everybody out there can tell that we had this totally perfectly planned out. We actually did. We're just not executing as well as we should have. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you? I mean, I think
I'm a little hassled, I must tell you.
I think I texted, here, I'm going to let everybody in on a little story. Chris and I, we set up earlier. We got everything going. I showed everything to him yesterday. And then the jerk that I am, I'm like, let's connect at 120. And then I'm sending mean texts to Chris about, oh, I thought you wanted to connect at 120. Not knowing that you were in the middle of a very difficult situation with your hotel room.
Unbelievable. I got back to my hotel room at about 1:15 in order to come back in and call you and get all this set up. And they'd already checked me out of the hotel room. And so my little key card did not work. So I had to traverse all the way back downstairs, stand in line while I'm like losing my mind, to get a new key.
Yes.
And I don't know. I hope this doesn't happen, but they apparently can kick me out of this room at any moment now. So I may have to have an actual discussion on air with the hotel to try to make sure I stay in the room at least for an hour. Everything that's gone wrong has gone wrong.
But we're it didn't go wrong because we're on right now, which is
going right. Okay, now I'm just going to tell you because we're this far into it.
Yeah?
It sounded perfect until about 20 seconds ago, and now there's a huge echo on my end.
There's a big echo on your end, huh?
There wasn't until about 20 seconds ago.
Okay, so, well, I got to figure out what that
is. 20 seconds.
I didn't do anything.
You didn't?
Oh, maybe I did. Hold on, hold on. What about now?
Yeah, you did.
What about now?
You did. Yeah, now it's gone. See?
That's so weird.
It is such a crazy thing. Why don't you explain to everybody what we have to go through to get this done?
Oh, yes, I should.
I wouldn't be able to explain it.
So right now we have Chris on camera on StreamYard, but because the way the board is, it's really there's a lot of feedback, and I can't even explain it, but just know that there's a lot of weird stuff that happens with the board. So he also has to be on Zoom, and Zoom is what is providing your voice. And so now we are on. I guess we weren't on, but now we are. You know, there's nothing that I love more than when the chat gives me negative 30 seconds to fix something on the video. And the chat knows I love them, but at the same time, it's like I get no time to fix
these
things.
You guys have no idea how hard we've worked to do this. So we are so glad that you were with us. I have to tell you, I also had to set this microphone up. Can you see it?
Yes, yes.
Okay, this microphone. Now, here's the funny thing. When I was moving this control earlier this morning to tighten or loosen the mic a little bit, I pulled the knob all the way out and the microphone started to fall apart. So I had to spend 20 minutes putting the microphone back together, actually.
Really?
In order for it to even be here. So if you can think of anything that's gone wrong other than that, beyond everything that's already gone wrong, chat it to Scraby. He'd love to hear it.
I know. The chat is saying that they expect the best. And I expect to give them the best. I do every single day. But it doesn't mean I'm not human. And I look at the chat sometimes and I'm like, rah! That's what everybody gets. Me screaming.
I think rah is how Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase were feeling after the performance they turned in last night in that Thursday night football game. I cannot imagine a quarterback wide receiver duo doing more in any one single football game and still not winning. It was unbelievable what Ja'Marr Chase did last night. I think he got 59.5 fantasy points, which is something I've never seen before. And I was looking at Twitter today and they said there's only been a couple of plus 50s ever scored by wide receivers. And the last one was Jerry Rice. So that gives you the kind of performance that Chase turned in. And then the Bengals lose it on doing what I thought they should do, which is go for two and try and get the win.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about
that. On the road against a better team. We talked about this earlier this week. Both Tampa Bay and Miami went for the tie and ended up losing anyway. So I liked what Cincinnati did. And frankly, the play should have worked, except for the fact that somebody had a hold of Burrow's face mask, which wasn't called. And Gesicki was held before he could reach up and try to catch the pass, and that wasn't called.
Yeah.
So it was almost an unsatisfying end to a great, great game. So
it was a great game. Let me tell you something that has never or only happened twice in history. And the second time it happened was last night. There have been two instances in NFL history where a quarterback had 30-plus completions, 300-plus passing yards, 4-plus TD passes, multiple 40-plus yard TD passes, and no more than one interception, and they still lost. Those two instances were Joe Burrow versus the Ravens in Week 5 and Joe Burrow versus the Ravens last night.
No way. Really?
I'm not kidding, yeah. That's it.
Yeah, and they lost the first game 41-38 in overtime. But I didn't realize he did all of those numbers in that game. Yeah. That's a serious hang with him for our friend Dave Lapham in Cincinnati. The color guy who's always yelling over the broadcast.
Yes, of course, of course.
I can only imagine Dave at the end of that game last night. He probably yelled something like this, Scrabe.
Uh-oh. Wait, hold on. I got to get there first. I didn't know we were going to do the Washington football horse sound.
No! That had to be the reaction of Dave Lappin after that game last night and every Cincinnati Bengals fan.
Seriously.
I feel for you. I mean, I don't know what you can do. You can't do much more than that other than, of course, asking your defense to try to stop the unstoppable Lamar Jackson.
He is pretty unstoppable. I have to say.
In the fourth quarter, he was, right? He passed for 200 yards in the fourth quarter. That's an 800-yard pace.
Yeah, I guess so.
It was pretty good.
That move for Derrick Henry might have won them a spot in the Super Bowl because it changed their entire team. Same with the Eagles. I think the Eagles getting Saquon probably gave them a spot in the Super Bowl because he's that much of a game changer.
Well, Derrick Henry's no doubt a game changer to that level. And the play that Lamar Jackson made where he retreated 25 yards and then cut line and then ran out of bounds, only he didn't run out of bounds and kept tiptoeing down the sideline until he got to the goal line from the 40-yard line in.
Yeah.
I don't know that anyone's ever done that. I don't think anyone else can ever do that except for him. And, you know, that's incredible. But the problem Baltimore is going to have those defensively, I've always felt the Ravens had a knockdown, snot-nosed defense.
Not anymore.
And they don't have that this year. So that could keep them from getting to where they want to go. We'll see.
Big news, Chris, from you were traveling yesterday, so I want to get your thoughts on some of what we talked about yesterday on the Padres. But you alerted to me to this earlier. Kevin Acey tweeted that the new multi-year contract for Padres pitching coach Ruben Niebla has been finalized, so people can breathe a sigh of relief.
That's a huge sigh of relief. I don't think there's any other question. There's any other way to say it. I was trying to think of this when I saw this news today, and I'm not quite sure where to compare it to. But if I told you out there that you could only have Ruben Niebla back, or you could have Jerks and Profar back, I'll even say that. And hopefully they'll end up getting them both.
Yeah.
But I think you would have said, we're going to have to take Ruben Niebla. He's that important. So this is a huge signing. I give AJ Preller and the Padres a lot of credit because Ruben Niebla, frankly, had all of the cards here, didn't he? He could have held out for pretty much anything he wanted.
You know what he should have done? He should have hired me. I would have gone back through all the press conferences. I would have clipped every time one of the pitchers says that Ruben helped me. I love Ruben. Ruben's great. And then he could have just given that to the Padres and just walked out of the room. And then there's his negotiation.
It's just a mic drop.
It is.
I mean, that's all. Yeah. Ruben Niebla basically could walk into the contract negotiations and drop the mic and walk out and tell the Padres, figure it out. So, you know, I think part of this is probably, hey, look, it helps. It works when you treat people right. It works when, you know, you have a good organization and you take care of your people. Now, I don't know what happens behind the scenes with the Padres versus Ruben Niebla, and I don't know, maybe he needs something for his family. Maybe he needs something to help him move into a new house. Whatever it might be off the field that we don't know about, my guess is the Padres and Ruben Niebla have a great relationship and they've worked well together and Ruben wanted to stay here.
Because
if he didn't want to stay here, he could have pretty much chosen where he wanted to go.
He deserves the Lincoln Riley treatment. Even though Lincoln Riley
did not. Buy him a new house, sell his other house.
Give him like a free jet, basically. Pay him $110 million. Whatever Ruben Niebla wanted, he should have got. And I'm glad that the Padres are focused on keeping this coaching staff together. Because the last, three, four, five seasons, it's been almost different every single year. And it looks like they're going to have a pretty similar look to what they had last year.
Well, the one place that's been similar the last few years is with Ruben. So,
yeah,
you know, I mean, yeah,
that's
these pitchers,
yeah,
they need Ruben Niebla. He obviously wanted to be here. I give him a lot of credit because I think he could have probably asked for more than the Padres really were comfortable paying. And, you know, I think he could have gotten it elsewhere. But how much is too much or how much is enough? And I think Ruben Niebla said, you know what, I'm happy here. This is where I want to be. And I'm not saying he took any lousy contract.
Yeah, we don't even know what the contract details are.
We don't know what he took, but I'm assuming that he might have been able to, you know, go out on the market. But great that he hasn't. This is a huge relief for any Padre fan. And I think all of the pitchers on this staff who would have been smart to chip in on his contract and help keep him anyway.
Yeah. Right. they all
Ruben,
said,
we're paying you $6 million. The good news is Musgrove, King, Cease, Suarez, everybody else, they're all chipping in an extra 500,000.
Yes.
So you're good.
Absolutely. This is a very good thing. I guess when we get back, we could talk about some of the buzz of the GM meetings and they haven't set the payroll yet, but they have. Kevin Acey gave us an indication of where it's going to go. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that as well.
All right, we'll do it. I'm so glad to be here, everybody. I know it was a shaky start for all of you out there, but
we got it.
We worked really hard to make this happen, and my applaud to Scravy for pulling us through here.
You know what I'll do, Chris? People might be very, very, very surprised in this, but I doubted our setup here today. I doubted if it was going to work, but it does.
Here we are.
There you go, Chris. There you go.
I'm all right. This is actually me live and in color from my hotel room in beautiful, and everybody should come here, Davis, California. More Gwen and Chris. More Gwen and Chris coming up.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here, Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello up in UC Davis. Matt Scraby here in studio. Tony taking his first day off since the Padres season ended, so he gets a much-deserved day off. And
you know, we were talking so much about our issues getting back on the air, we forgot to tell everybody that Tony's not here.
I totally forgot that, too. We just kind of...
Yeah, we didn't even mention that he might be a part of the show from time to time.
Yes, but Tony will be back today with us on Tuesday. Chris texted me something. This is all new to me and Chris. Him being on that side, me being on this side, so we're working through it. We can't figure out a way to talk during the break unless we call each other, which is fine. It's no big deal. But Chris texted me saying that, let me get the actual text because it came in and he's listening to the actual break music on YouTube. By the way,
I'm like everybody who's watching the show on YouTube now.
Exactly.
It's like me during the break. Yeah.
Yes. And if you want to watch us, you can go to YouTube. Just search 97.3 The Fan, or you can go and go on X at 97.3 The Fan SD. But he sent me this text. This music makes me feel like I'm watching The Dating Game in the 60s, is what you said to me.
What do you think? I mean, have you ever heard it?
Oh, I put it in there. So, yes, I've heard it at some point.
You're the one that chose that music to be our,
yes,
to be our commercial music.
It's
pretty funny.
It's kind of a controversial thing in the YouTube chat because some people like the music. Some people absolutely hate the music. Some people absolutely hate the video game. Some people like the video game. So I'm trying to find different
touch.
Ways.
I've seen that before when I'm in studio, but I didn't know. I never knew what the music was that was playing, that was accompanying the video game.
Okay.
Video.
I'll put
so
it.
I've never heard it before. It's, I don't know, Scrabe. I got to be.
I was just about to say, I'll put it up to you. Do I need to change the music?
Here's my thing. I felt like I was halfway between The Dating Game and a waiting room at a doctor's office. I felt like I was about to go get my teeth drilled or something.
Okay. I guess. All right.
I think there's got to be something a little catchier.
I don't.
For the fine folks who listen during the breaks.
And for everybody else who says, won't you just go get like a top 40 song? YouTube won't let us steal songs.
No, you don't have to. Yeah, no. But can you get maybe some. Were you going for jazz there?
That is
were
jazz.
You just.
Yes.
That is jazz.
It says Break Arrows Jazz is the name.
Yeah, well, it's not good jazz. It's not all that jazz.
It's All right. We're done with our jokes now.
Look, we have a million things in this world that are more important right now than our break music, but you know, since we're on the subject, you know, you might want to take a look at that.
I will. This weekend, I got 3 days to do it, so I can do it. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Now, yesterday, Chris, or actually Wednesday night, near the end of the night, Kevin Acey sent an article out detailing the payroll a little bit, and the payroll commitment for this year heading into 2025 already exceeds $200 million, and these totals don't even account for at least the starting pitcher or replacing or re-signing Jurickson Profar. So basically, AJ said he's going to meet with Eric Kutsenda and Eric Grubner, and they're going to figure out how to or what the budget's going to be. And AJ said that he is... he knows that they need to spend to be able to compete in this next season. I said to Tony yesterday, they have to spend because the division is going to spend. And you can't just sit there and let everybody get better and you just stay put.
I think you have to, too. I think you've worked yourself into this position, which is a really great position for all of us. You know, you had the huge payroll 2 seasons ago. You were able to get under the luxury tax last year. But in doing that last season, you made a run, you know, to what a lot of people think could have been the second best team in all of baseball by the time it was over. I don't think you can take 2 steps back from that in under these circumstances, right? I mean, yeah. You basically have now told everybody, you told us you were going to do this 5-6 years ago, that we were going to contend every year. Now you're actually doing it. I think you've got to keep the payroll up to give yourself the best chance to keep doing that. And I'm not, you know, trying to make it sound like this is a demand. I'm just trying to look at the landscape out there. And the landscape I see says Padre fans are expecting to make another run next year. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to sign somebody like Jurickson Profar again. You're going to have to sign, you know, another starting pitcher somewhere. You're going to need a shortstop wherever you get that. And you can't go into the season without those things.
So this season, the competitive balance tax is set at $241 million. So roughly what Kevin Acey said is they're sitting, you know, just over $200 million. So they have a little bit of wiggle room. They don't have to go into the tax threshold and pay on it. But because I know that they don't want to do that. I think $241 million is a ton of money, and it seems like they can get some good players and still be underneath that.
And I don't think anybody could complain.
No.
If they're gonna push the 241 mark, then I don't think any fan anywhere can complain. I just don't. The Padres have been really good to us. I've tried to tell you people this or make this point several times in the last few years. Go through Padre history. Go through the entire 56-year history of the Padres. Go through all of it. Take a look at the records every year. You're never going to find as good of a stretch as they've had these last 5 years. 6 years, 2020 through 2024, 5 years, 5 seasons. They didn't make the playoffs every time, but they were relevant, and they've been relevant for 5 consecutive years.
And the reason they're relevant is because they're spending money.
In franchise history before.
Yes. So I got a question on the chat. What did they spend last year? I'll go to 2023 when they were way over the CBT, and they had a in 2023 they had an adjusted payroll of $256 million. Then in 2024, when they had to cut all that payroll, they had a payroll of $171 million, and as it currently stands right now, they have around $205 million in payroll according to SpotTrack. So that would give them what? What's the math on that, Chris? That gives them $36 million to play with, roughly?
Yeah, they just didn't teach you any of that math stuff at USF, did they?
Accounting like, may have been my hardest class.
Even the
class.
Simplest stuff, like 41 minus 5 equals 36. Like, you didn't...
See, I'm not a math person. I'm a science person. I'm a science person. Like, my dad and my brother can do that in their head without even really even thinking. It just comes out of their mouth. Me, I have to, okay, like, well, carry the one.
Let's just say you couldn't do that in your head. You could still say 41 and then just count backwards 5 times and you'd get to 36. So I'm feeling that
point.
You still have done that.
That's a good
you're
point,
welcome.
Chris. That's something not
to think
how
of
my
the
brain
next
works.
Time you're faced with that difficult of a
math
equation.
Yeah. I will say this about the payroll, and there's nothing they can do about it, but this Xander Bogaerts contract is going to hurt them for a long time unless he's able to play to the level that he was with the Red Sox. I just don't know we're going to see that, but he's the high. He's $25 million coming to him in 2025, which is what the Padres gave him, so I don't blame him, but that's going to create some problems.
And it's part of the reason why they're kind of backed up into a corner now to where they're going to have the tax threshold. It's their own fault, is what you're saying.
Yes.
And you may not be wrong, but you're right. They need... absolutely, positively to fill 3 spots on this roster. And they're going to have to go about it somehow. You know, whether it's mix and match, whether you play 3 guys or you pay 6 guys and, you know, they each play half the season, whatever it is, you got to figure out how to do that. And you're right. They may not be this high on the payroll if it wasn't for that contract. But, you know, it's a lot of it's revisionist history too, Scrab. You go back to when they signed him. That's what the asking price was to get that player, and they believed in that player, so they had to pony up for it.
Yeah, they did. They did, and I think that...
Like, they didn't do it... They didn't do a Jerry Jones thing where they gave up a 4th-round pick when they only needed to give up a 7th-round pick. They paid what Xander Bogaerts cost at that time.
They did.
I mean, I feel, so...
No, I get it. It's just... A weird. Never mind. I've already said this on the Scraby Show so many times about the Xander Bogaerts contract, and there's nothing I can do about it, so I need to move on. All right. When we get back, I'm going to ask Chris about Ha-Seong Kim, the buzz that's being generated, also some of the other news that is out there. The Japanese pitcher, Roki Sasaki, and Aaron Boone is going to be returning as Yankees manager. So we'll be back. Chris has another segment with us, and then Sammy Levitt comes in at 3 p.m. Back shortly with Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. 2:38 here on 97.3 The Fan. Scraby here with you. Chris Ello in Sacramento area, UC Davis.
You did the music in that commercial break?
Yes, yes.
Went from 60s doctor waiting room to 70s psychedelic.
Well, did you see the break is psychedelic, so I had
did,
to type
yeah.
in psychedelic. I typed in...
Very good.
I mean, I really try. I really try on these commercial
I know
breaks.
You try. Nobody tries harder than this guy, folks. Nobody tries harder.
Oh, how is the...
I'm going to start calling you Avis.
Oh, because...
I don't know why. Because Avis
no,
always had to
tag?
Try harder. They were second place or something.
There's an echo now. I mean, I am... I just...
I know, it's okay. Been crazy. Right. And you got Chris Ello under your name and Matt Scraby under my name.
Here we go. I know the people out here who aren't watching,
go.
Or people out there that aren't watching YouTube are like, will you guys please stop talking about stuff I can't see? But you should check us out
goodness.
On YouTube when you can. Just search 97.3 The Fan because I think we're pretty entertaining.
I hope everybody's having a relaxing drive home out there today, but we're certainly probably not helping you relax, I'm sorry to say.
No. All right. We are going to talk about Ha-Seong Kim right here, Chris, because Tony and I talked about this yesterday. the GM meetings have created a buzz of Ha-Seong Kim that many teams are going to want him. And according to a source, Kim has already generated the lots of interest. The Giants are focused on signing him. The Brewers have also connected or are connected to him. But the Giants appear to be this team that really, really wants him. And I told Tony yesterday, I actually do have a source in the Bay Area, and that source told me they are willing to pay more for Ha-Seong Kim because they really, really want him. The problem with that is for at least 2025, he's not coming back until June or July. And the Padres can't afford to have someone not come back until June or July. So anybody who signs him for 2025 is going to be getting half of Ha-Seong Kim.
I've told you from the day before he left that he wasn't coming back, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I made my peace with that, right? You guys, first of all, everybody knows Ha-Seong Kim was not my all-time favorite player. It stems mostly from his adventures on the base pass. It also included the fact that he only hit 230 last year, and he was nowhere near as good defensively as he was the year before when he won the Gold Glove. Are any of those things inaccurate?
No, not at all.
So, you know, he did hit the occasional home run. I think he ended up with, you know, he's in double figures, 15, 16. But I just don't think Ha-Seong Kim is a gazillion-dollar shortstop. And if somebody else does, I can't do anything about it. Let them. I mean, and if he comes back and hits 300 next year, and hits, you know, career highs in home runs and steals, and wins another Gold Glove like he's probably capable of, then we just have to suck it up. I'm sorry,
I don't see how he hits better up there at Oracle Park than he would in other stadiums. I know Petco Park is not the most hitter-friendly park, but Jorge Soler last year went there, and then he was gone before the trade deadline. So, and it was not because of anything, you know, he wasn't playing terrible. It was just...
No, he wasn't hitting the long ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, there's only one person that can hit a home run at Oracle Park consistently, and he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Barry Bonds.
Yeah, he's the only one who can consistently be counted on to be a home run threat. That, you know, I saw something, we were talking last week about Pete Alonso maybe going to San Francisco. They've got a lot of money to spend. Pete, don't do it. Your whole world is about hitting home runs. You bring no value of any kind in any other department. So if you go to San Francisco and go from 38 home runs to 22, they're going to run you out of town.
Yeah.
So I don't think, you know, that's, but Ha-Seong Kim's game isn't necessarily home runs. I mean, no. He adds that as a little bonus piece. So I think he could be successful in San Francisco. Like I said before, I'd be scared in the sense that he could go somewhere. He could return to form of 2023. He can win the Gold Glove. He can hit 280 instead of 230. And then we're going to say, man, we really blew it. We let him go. But we didn't let him go. We can't afford to keep him. There's a difference.
Oh, I agree with you. I just don't think the Padres are in a place to be spending on a guy who's primarily really, really good at defense, because right now they need to maximize all of their salary.
Well, and as you said, only good for a half a season.
Yeah, I
most likely.
June, July for his shoulder injury, and his best friend is on the Giants as well.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to bring
in... I want Ha-Seong to be a happy guy.
Okay. Yeah, I do too. I mean, he's a great dude. He's you know, fun. He's a good clubhouse guy. Everybody loves him.
Ask yourself this, if you're a Padre fan. Is it worth to you to spend $30-plus million just so you can sit there in the seats four times a night and go, Ha-Seong Kim... Ha-Seong Kim. Ha-Seong Kim. Because that's the highlight of Ha-Seong Kim right there, is that chant. Sorry, you're not going to be able to do that. Pick another player.
I have a friend, and you may have been on these text threads, but every time that people talk about, you know, re-signing Ha-Seong Kim, I always say, well, you can't. He has the chant. No one else is going to chant for Ha-Seong Kim like that. Like the Padres will.
No, it's a legendary chant, I must tell you. But I don't know that we can afford to keep it, people. Sorry.
Ale says, Chris, what HSK does have is heart and hustle.
I agree. I like those things about Ha-Seong Kim. But heart and hustle help you only so much, as we know. And he didn't. And you got to admit, even you know, you have to admit, if you're a big Ha-Seong Kim fan, that he had a down year last year, way down compared to 2023. He just did.
He did. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
He had the same heart, the same hustle, just not the same production.
Yeah, exactly. Same. That's a really good way of putting it. Same guy in the heart and the hustle, but not the same baseball player. We have another thing on the chat saying the Padres were rumored to be looking to trade him last year when they had the chance, but didn't. Did they miss out? I don't think so. And we don't know what was offered to them. We don't know if there was an offer.
That's hard to talk about because that's all hearsay. And then obviously he got hurt. So when he get hurt, that's the end of that trade talk. So if anything was percolating, it would have died right then and there.
That's true. That's true.
Am I the only one that doesn't mind it too much if Xander Bogaerts plays shortstop and Jake has to go to second and Arise plays first and you sign somebody pretty cheap to come in the late innings for defense?
I know nobody
wants to do that.
I don't know.
But for some reason, I think that could work and be a very cheap way of working that issue out.
Luis Arraez, I just think that he can't play every day at first base.
I know he's the worst first baseman everybody says in the world, but you didn't say that. But people say he's the worst. He brings you nothing but the batting average. He's a terrible defender. I didn't see a terrible defender. I didn't. I saw him make a lot of really good plays over there. I certainly liked him better than Donovan Solano, who was kind of the other option at the end of the season at first base.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I don't know. I in a perfect world, you'd move Jake to first, you'd move Xander to second, and you'd get a new shortstop. But can you afford to do that? And if you and stop me before you say Jackson Merrill goes to shortstop. Okay, fine. Then you need a new center fielder. You're going to need to fill in somewhere.
Yes, I do love those retorts whenever I'm going back and forth on social media with someone. They're like, well, just move us Xander or Fernando into shortstop. Everything will be okay. I'm like, I don't think
it'll be okay
that
at shortstop, but you get another position.
Yeah, who's going to play platinum glove right fielder? Not anyone on the team right now.
No.
Okay, so Aaron Boone, the Yankees picked up the option on him to return as manager. I didn't think there was going to be any question about this after leading to the World Series, but, you know, New York is a tough place, Chris.
Yeah. I was there. I barely survived 5 days.
did you see Aaron Boone while you were there?
I didn't see Aaron. Well, no, I think I did.
Oh, yeah,
I was at Yankee Stadium, so I actually might have seen him just from far away. He didn't know that I saw him. I think he's a good manager. I think the Yankees have a good guy there. Did he manage perfectly in the World Series? I don't know. Ask yourself this. Did his guys play well for him?
Not really.
No, they didn't. You know? And anybody's going to – a lot of people said, well, all those mistakes that the Yankees made are a reflection of a bad manager. Get out of here. Every team – covers first base for 6 hours a day in spring training. The fact that Gerrit Cole did not run over and cover first base on perhaps the biggest play of the entire season is his fault.
Do
not try to blame that on Aaron Boone.
Can you say that Aaron Boone should have been reminding these guys of the simple things like that? Because it was such a big moment.
You mean in that situation, should every manager in baseball yell out, hey, if there's a grounder to first, make sure you cover the bag.
No, but like before the game, when you're talking to everyone, you know, remember the little things. Cover first. Do the backup.
But who's to say he didn't say that?
You're right.
I don't know that he did, but I don't know that any manager does. That would be micromanaging. Gerrit Cole's a big boy. He screwed up the biggest play of the season for the Yankees. It's as simple as that. And Aaron Judge didn't help because he dropped the fly ball, and Aaron Boone didn't drop that one. So
true.
Yeah, I think the Yankees managing situation's fine. He got them to the World Series. You could have a subtraction by subtraction there. You know what I mean? If you subtract him, I think you could go back. You know, be careful what you wish for. I like Aaron Boone.
Me too.
And he's funny when he yells at our umpires.
And he gets kicked out of games because he yells at umpires so often that doesn't even matter if he said anything. I think it was Hunter Wendell that kicked him out of the game for the guy behind him yelling at the umpire.
How about the video of him when he walks out there and draws a line on the outside the plate and then pretends he's an umpire and punches the imaginary hitter out?
That's pretty good.
The umpire's standing there looking at him like, you are crazy.
And then you're out of here too when Aaron Boone doesn't care. Don't get like fined for this stuff. So an ejection in baseball really doesn't mean a whole lot to me the manager ejection, because the player ejection obviously changes the entire game, but a manager ejection to me doesn't really make a big difference. If anything, it rallies the troops.
True enough.
All right. We got a couple more minutes before you head out to UC Davis. You got anything on your mind before you go?
Well, I was going to I didn't get a chance to talk about the Aztecs and UCSD Wednesday night. I thought, first of all, UCSD is a good team. And I know that they're not going to win the national championship. Don't get me wrong. But they played a really good, they're well coached. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They nailed some deep threes. And the Aztecs are a work in progress. So I think a lot of people think, well, man, we didn't blow them out. We're going to be terrible this season. All you have to do is go back to last year when they beat UCSD by 1 point and they still ended up in the Sweet 16. So I don't think you should look so closely at the final score. I think a lot of Aztec fans are doing that. They're kind of panicking. We don't have much. We're not going to be this. We're not going to be that. How are we going to replace this? Jaden Ledee, et cetera. You got to give this team some time. And I'm telling you, if you look at their schedule after they play Occidental, which is their next game, they're going to have Creighton. They're going to have Gonzaga.
Yeah,
they're going to have Texas A&M. They're going to have Oregon.
Yeah.
They're going to lose some games here, but it's all going to be okay because Brian Dutcher is going to be collecting data and is going to be putting this team together to hit its stride again in January and February. And I believe that there's enough talent in there, you know, to make this team a legit contender again in the Mountain West, and therefore a legit shot to get into the NCAA tournament.
Go ahead. Did you see where ESPN's Jay Billis ranked them in his top 68?
He did. He had them in there. He had them in the tournament, but he also had them sixth best in the conference.
Well, but
he had
five
other conference
60th.
Teams above them.
60th is where he ranked them out of the 60.
Yeah.
6-0.
I know. That's enough to get in the tournament.
I
don't
respect
care where
Jay
you
Billis
get in.
A lot, but like, why does no one think this team is good before they show that they're good?
Because they have nobody returning. And the only returning player they have is on the bench right now, injured.
Yeah.
I mean, when you don't have a single returning starter, unless you're Duke or Kansas or Carolina, you know, you're going to have to prove it again. And I think Brian Dutcher and his staff and his guys are going to go about trying to do that. And I think they'll be fine. Reese Waters didn't play the other night. I was happy to get a win. They did enough down the stretch. And Nick Boyd, by the way, is a really good point guard. Don't look past this guy.
The FAU transfer?
Yep.
He took a charge late in the game that really helped
him.
That was big. And I think it was Miles Bird had filled the stat line, as you said. He played really well.
Oh, yeah, Bird was great. And now you got to get the kids on the front line going. We got 1 point out of my guy, Magoon Gwath. Come on, Magoon.
Hey,
be better than one.
Remember when their coach told us that he was going to be up and down throughout the year and we need to take it easy on him?
Yep, that was a down. He'll have some ups. He'll have some ups for sure.
Real quick, Chris, the Aztecs football team plays tonight against New Mexico on the Snapdragon Field.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, both of these teams have 3 wins, so it's not like they're powerhouses, but this is an important game for the Aztecs because they're trying to make a bowl game.
Right. The Aztecs need to win 3 out of their last 4 to make a bowl game. And one of those 4 is against UNLV, that they're going to be a huge underdog. So they got to take care of business tonight. I would say good luck to Sean Lewis. Good luck to the Aztecs. And everybody watch your ankles. Make sure you tape them up before you go out on that hazardous field.
Hey, remember they said that it was giving them an edge, which I love that they turned
have
that
an
into
edge
it.
Tonight.
Because
hopefully they'll have one.
The NWSL, too, I know I'm just throwing news topics at you, but you're leaving, so I'm going to ask you about this one. The NWSL has gotten rid of the draft. Did you know that? The player draft, rookie draft.
No. I did see that the Wave signed a player right out of college.
Yes, that's
so. That means they don't have to draft them anymore. Is that the whole point?
Exactly. You get to make your choice as a player where you want to go, and it's supposed to help compete with the overseas leagues as well. Tony and I were like, we need a couple years to see how this goes, because you could just stack a super team if you just keep getting all the best players in the country.
Super teams isn't a bad thing for the NWSL at this point. I think they would give them some needed attention. They're getting plenty of attention. They're making great inroads, but it wouldn't hurt to have a team go 30-0.
True. All right, Chris, thank you so much. Have fun at Davis tonight. We'll see you on Tuesday. Appreciate you.
I'll be back in studio. We won't have to go through this for a little while, but we're going to do better next time.
Oh, I love the positivity. Sammy Levitt up next with me, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.